This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. It is time now for Bobby Bell to join us here, our Cowboys insider. He'll be on tomorrow, I believe, from 1 to 5 with KG talking sports.
That's true.
In the lead-up to the pregame show. Segment here with Belt brought to you by the Frankels. You think there will be less big company trucks on the road this summer because of gas prices? Think again. And those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them, so get the representation that won't settle for less. It's Franklin Frankel at truckwreck.com. Bobby, good afternoon. How the heck you doing?
He's in the building!
What's up?
Hey, we're just we're ready for this preseason to get started.
Are you? You really excited about this game one?
Well,
all the Cooper Rush snaps.
I do want to know from you, who are the players that you are genuinely interested or excited for evaluating tomorrow night? How many are there, you think?
I think we're all interested to see how these receivers translate into the game. But I mean, the top of the list has to be Tyler Smith, I think, and seeing how he looks in game action. So Tyler Smith, receivers.
The kickers?
Kickers, yeah, that's a big one. Kelvin Joseph, probably. See if he can do anything to get himself back ahead of guys like Mashawn Wright and Deron Bland. I think just about there, that's kind of where the interest will be. There's not going to be a whole lot of big names, I don't think, playing these first 2 weeks, and I wouldn't expect a lot of big names, period, throughout the preseason.
You know, the standard's high when it comes to rookie offensive linemen here because of the success they had a decade ago when they brought in Frederick and Martin and Smith. And I don't think it's fair to hold Tyler Smith to that standard. But are you hoping for an average year at this point? Are you hoping for all rookie team? Could we get, you know, a Pro Bowl rookie? Maybe that's out of the question right now. But what do you think is likely, and what are you hoping for as far as how good of a rookie year Tyler has at this point?
I mean, I don't want to say Pro Bowl is, you know, completely out of the question. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't bank on that at all. But, you know, we've seen a lot of, not just here in Dallas, we've seen a lot of offensive linemen come into the league in recent years and have a lot of success right out of the gate. Jedrick Wills, Tristan Wirfs, Mekhi Becton, who, you know, kind of backslid after his rookie year, but was really good early on. Rashawn Slater. So there's been a lot of success there. So I don't want to say it's completely impossible, but yeah, I think that it's more realistic to just expect, I would say, more stable than Connor Williams ever was, is what I think is a reasonable expectation for what Tyler Smith can be this year. I'd love it if you could get Ron Leary type of play out of him. That's probably a little bit too much to ask. Ron Leary was a really good, undervalued player when he was here. But you know, I think that would be a nice, that would kind of be the peak of my expectations, would be play, you know, up to a Ron Leary type of level there at left guard.
Bobby, I'm like looking at like Jabril Cox, people like that, Quentin Bohanna, sure. Sam Williams, you know, guys
Tristan
like
Hill.
That, Tristan Hill, Golston playing as that under tackle. You know, I want to see those, you know, we're going to see a lot of those backup guys, and I don't know how Denver's going to play their offensive line. But if a lot of those backup guys start the game, I'm interested to see how they hold up those first couple of drives.
Yeah, I think there's a, you're interested to see anybody who's on the bubble, anybody who you're hoping is making that second year leap, anybody at a position of uncertainty where you're hoping to see somebody kind of separate themselves and level up. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different guys that are, you know, interesting to see. I would still lead off as number one as Smith, just because there's a level up from they weren't wearing pads to the pads came on and then into preseason. Like, and each time it's a little bit like, okay, are we going to see it? You know, is this where Tyler Smith is going to struggle, or is it going to continue to click here? Is he going to continue to level up? And so Smith to me is just the headliner for whatever's going on tomorrow. But yeah, I think you're right that there's other, you know, things to consider. Jabril Cox running around with that, you know, knee/leg brace thing, like, you know, on his leg. Mm-hmm. The guys that are competing for jobs, Carlos Watkins, Quentin Bohanna, Tristan Hill, you know, Terrell Basham, like seeing if they're able to step up and separate themselves at all. I'm interested to see how some of these safeties look. Tyler Boyle,
I'm with you on that too.
Mukwamu, you know, just going down the line, looking at all the different guys, Marquise Bell. So, yeah, I mean, I'm also interested to see who they have returning kicks and how well they do at it. Because that was something that they had issues with all summer. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to see here. It's just there's going to be some dicey quarterback play probably. Good news for Jerry is I think he'll finally be high enough in the press box that Cooper Rush won't be able to hit him with an errant throw. and so there's that positive, I guess.
When you talk about the kickoff return stuff, and I know it's just something that they need to address, is that Rico Dowdle to you or is that more about Turpin?
The punts or the kicks?
Well, I think the kicks.
I think on kicks, it's probably Dowdle if he's healthy, if he's ready. And then on punts, I would think it's Turpin. But, man, they seem to be trying to give other guys an opportunity to get a shot at the punt returns because we've seen Jalen Tolbert back there and, you know, everybody's favorite person in the building for the Cowboys, Dennis Houston. We've seen them back there catching punts in recent days, and even Pollard was catching some punts at some of these practices. And so I think I'd lean Dowdle on kicks. You know, I don't think Pollard is going to be doing as much of that anymore, but I would say Dowdle on kicks is a possibility, and then Turpin more on punts.
Who? Okay, of the group of Brandon Smith, Vasher, and Dennis Houston, who has the better of the game? Smith, Brandon Smith, TJ Vasher, and Dennis Houston.
Vasher, Houston, Smith?
Yes.
I think is the order is what I'd go right there. And so, I mean, I don't know. They really like Dennis Houston, and maybe I'll see it here. I know you made the great comparison before of Lance Lenoir. That is so dead on to me. Where it was also with Lenoir, where it's like I didn't always see what they loved about him. I didn't get it. But I mean, another Western Illinois guy who they're trying to work in on punt team and is getting a lot of reps higher up the depth chart than you'd expect. So it's very similar to the time that Lenoir was here. But I haven't totally seen it yet. There must be something that he did in OTAs and some of these practices that we can't see that really impressed people.
Who has the better game between Farniak and, say, Alec Lindstrom at center?
I mean, they got to get used to Alec Lindstrom snapping the ball as a lefty
because
they've
had
trouble with that during training camp. So I'd just go Farniak just from that.
See, but has Farniak been as a backup? I mean, nobody's really competing.
Farniak, where I saw Farniak has looked rough was at guard.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that at center when he gets those snaps that he'll look more comfortable because guard is where he seemed to have some of his trouble. Wasn't that a Joe Looney issue too? Didn't Looney used to have trouble when he'd play guard, but he was better when he'd play center?
Yeah, nobody's competed with Tyler Biadasz, which is surprising to me. Nobody's stepped up to just like, well, he's clearly better and he's, you know, pushing this guy for the starting spot. Seems like to me, and some of the problems they've been having is inside at that center guard spot. You know?
Yeah, I think it's just they don't believe they have.
They don't have anybody. They don't think. I'm guessing that.
No, I think that's it. I think they just feel like they don't have anybody that can. I think they'd love to have somebody that could challenge Biadasz, but I don't think they believe that they have the talent to do it. They like that one guy, the Houston kid, Braylon Jones. They seem to like him a little bit.
They do. They put him in a lot of those backup situations. They played him at guard yesterday and some center as well.
Yeah, and so whenever I hear Jeff Blasco, the assistant offensive line coach, Blasco seems to like him. And so they kind of held on to him after training camp last year, and he's gotten some opportunities since he's been out here, and Blasco's always given him a lot of credit. So I kind of wonder if maybe there's a little bit of Jones being at play here too, in terms of for a roster spot, not necessarily to push Biadasz, because like I said, I think it's similar to where they got at a point with Zerlein, where it's like, yeah, we'd love for somebody to replace him, but who? And I think that was kind of, or just even how they've gotten to the kicking point here, where it's like, yeah, we hire Lahu's fine. We'd love for somebody to replace him, but who? Like, all right, let's bring in Maher now. Let's see if this will do any better. And so I think that that's just where they're at with Biotis is we would love for somebody to replace him. We just don't have anybody that can do it right now.
It's Bobby Belt here with you on 105 Through the Fan, brought to you by the On-Time Experts. Do you think the Cowboys feel like they have something to prove tomorrow night, maybe come out with fire in their belly after getting pushed around again yesterday and how chippy it got?
Ooh, maybe individual guys do. I don't think as a team they're pushing that message at all. No,
have a little pride.
I think they just view it as, you know, they Mike McCarthy, the last practice there at Oxnard, seemed really disinterested in the chippiness of practice and his own guys being chipped, like even, you know, against each other. There are guys there who I think like it and feel like it levels them up and the competitiveness adds juice to the practice and everything else. But I don't know that they're going to, you know, really feel that sense of pride or that's going to be any sort of a team message of like, hey, go out there and stand up for yourself. Maybe for individual guys it'll be that way. And I know that'll be a message into the regular season, so you should probably start that narrative now. But I don't know that they're going to actually be super interested in that.
What do you think of your guy Randy Gregory taunting the Cowboys so much from the sidelines? Maybe it's personal for him, huh?
Could be. He's doing well. I talked to him today. I chatted with him a while, checked in, seeing how he's doing. But how
is he doing?
He's good. He I'll tell you off the air what he told me about.
He
gave me a funny line about one of our friends on the beat, and so I'll have to tell you guys about it when we get up there. But
looking forward to that.
It's probably a little personal. I mean, when your last conversation, you wanted to be here in Dallas, and the last conversation ended with you can go bleep yourself from the owner.
Yeah,
that's probably pretty difficult to get over.
Bobby, we mentioned those wide receivers. How long would you play with Will Greer being out? How long would you play Cooper Rush to get a look at some of these wide receivers? Because I'm not interested, you know, in putting Ben DiNucci out there and having him run around for his life and not being able to evaluate these wide receivers.
I'd probably play Cooper Rush for the majority of the game, but I would guess they'll probably, if it's just Rush and DiNucci, I'm guessing it'll be pretty similar to like a half and a half.
That's what I thought I too.
But I would prefer Rush to get the majority of the snaps.
I would too, just to evaluate my guys. Just to evaluate those wide receivers, that's what I would do.
Yeah, which is why, and I know, I think you disagree to this, but that's one of the reasons why I'd be in favor of actually giving the guy with the strong leg the kicks in Mile High tomorrow.
Sure.
And not Hirolahu's, because I know Hirolahu's accurate. I don't need any juiced 55-yard kicks to giving false confidence in Hirolahu, though. Just let Maher do the kicking and see if he's accurate, and then give Hirolahu some game kicks when you come back.
Saw something disturbing on Twitter, Bobby. I want to know how you can justify watching inappropriate movies on flights.
I watched two of them. I was talking to Sean and RJ this morning. Sean thought it was aggressive that I was also watching Twister coming back after we got weather cancellation. So I watched Twister and then I watched Final Destination, which, of course, as you know, like Final Destination is the movie where within the first 20 seconds of a flight to Paris, the plane like blows up. So that's like the center of the whole movie. So I'm sitting there watching that. But I felt a little bit more confident about it. I got the middle seat on the way back from San Francisco.
Okay.
And so one guy to my right was watching the Denzel Washington plane movie.
They're flying the thing upside down?
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's watching that. So I'm like, I'm totally cool here. And so I started playing it. But then the other guy was
wait, you play Final Destination?
Yeah, I was watching.
They
Final
died. Well, and the Denzel thing, at least they survived.
No, it's a happy story about how six of them got off the plane, Lucius.
Shoot.
And how they cheated death. Well, some of them. Stifler didn't. Stifler got hit by a train. The guy next to me was just kind of like, are you really watching that? Like, that's all he said. But I've in the past been criticized for, you know, some guy next to me asked me to turn off Sully, which none of them died. They survived. That was a happy story. But, like, I don't know. I had my headphones on for Sully, but I guess he just didn't want that in his periphery. You know,
this sure did give Sully a hard time after saving everybody's lives
sure
like that.
Did.
I didn't like that at all.
That was a hero.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah. That was a happy story. But, yeah, like, on the way out to Oxnard, I was watching episodes of Air Disasters. Because, like I said, like, I'd rather be right than feel safe. I'd rather go, see, I have a good point. And all those Air Disaster episodes, man, they are brutal because it's like, it is always the summary at the end is, and if they wouldn't have pushed this one button, 300 people wouldn't have died.
Idiots.
And then it's like, well, that's
those bird strikes are tough too now.
The bird strikes are tough. But I can't handle it when it's all about, like, you just missed something on a checklist. I had somebody, a pilot, tell me one time, they're like, if you could just come up to the cockpit and see how in control the pilots were, you really would feel so much better about it. I was like, I really would not. I'd look at it and go, y'all are deeply asleep at the switch. You guys should look panicked, sweat.
There's no way you understand what all these buttons are doing.
Yeah, yeah, just like sweat trickling down your face, just feeling like this thing could go down at any moment, like a cocaine heartbeat. That's what you need. Like, I need you to be freaked out, and as I am freaked out.
989 says Randy is pissed at Clarence Hill, according to Newey Scruggs.
Is he?
Well,
I'll have to ask Randy.
Okay, all righty. There
I love
he is.
Chill. He likes Chill. He and Chill are buddies. They have a love hate relationship.
Just a little bit of a professional disagreement.
Yeah. I'm
Thanks,
sure.
Bob. Anything else before we let you go?
Just that I love you all.
All right, go Cowboys. There he is, Bobby Belt. Must follow on Twitter. It is time now to get your questions in for Brian Broaddus at 877-881-1053. Text your best questions in about the Cowboys, about training camp, about fishing, about cooking, whatever you want, ask them. We'll read the best questions live on air and answer them next here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.